So today, y'all, we begin a new preaching series, a new sermon series titled Baggage Check. Here's the reality, that far too many people, far too many believers, that we walk around, we journey through life with emotional and psychological traumas from our past that hold us down and that hold us back from being the people that God fully wants us to be. That we have our past mistakes, our past, our hurts and our pains and missed opportunities that we still carry around today, and they are simply baggage that God does not want you or me to carry any longer. That there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That we don't have to walk around always thinking about our sins from the past. That we can let that stuff go. And if you've been hurt, if you've been traumatized, if you've been molested, if you've been abused, if somebody's walked out on you, whatever your circumstances of your past may be, you can let that stuff go today. Don't carry the baggage with you today. And so the purpose of our preaching series is to empower us and to encourage us to leave the past in the past, to leave the past behind, so we can move confidently into the future that God has for us. And so as we unpack the first sermon in this series, turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 through 32. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it reads as thus, these two verses. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. And so in this first installment, I want to speak from the subject, simply, let it go. Look at the person to your left or to your right and simply say this, let it go. Let it go. It's time to let it go. As some of you know, a couple of weeks ago, She was visiting our daughter in Orlando, Florida. That's a mother and daughter time together. But on her return trip from Orlando International, she flew on this particular airline. I won't say the name of it. She called it the Soul Plane. But what it required of her as she checked in, that she had to. It was an automated system, and so she painted the picture for me. I've never seen it, but it's this totally automated check-in system. You know the human way. Somebody standing up there, they keying in stuff, and they asking for your ID and all of that. None of this. It was all automated, and so she has to, get her ID in and all the information, punch in her information, and she also had to check in her bags. There was no person back there to pick up a bag and throw it on the conveyor belt, You know how they throw it up there, don't you? Your nice look, the way they throw it on the plane, too. You can buy some brand new luggage, y'all. One trip, and your bag, it looks like it's been to a war zone, doesn't it? So you can buy Louis Vuitton if you want to. I'm trying to get some Sears and Roebuck, because they're going to tear it up anyway. But here's the deal. And so y'all know how bad it has to weigh a certain amount. And normally the people, they'll put it up on the scale for you, say, no, if it go, it won't go. Sometimes they're nice, they'll, it's 2 pounds, but they'll let you go. But no, not on this one. It's automated. So she has to take her bag and put it on the conveyor belt. The conveyor belt also has some type of built-in scale or something. because sister was overweight and her bag was overweight. It would not move. It would not go forward. And so you can imagine Jackie having standing in the airport, you know, she's got her check-in bag, her carry-on, taking stuff out of her baggage, putting it into her carry-on. And finally she puts it on the conveyor belt. It's good to go. And it moves forward. And so now she can go through the process, finish the process, go through the long security line, you know, go to her gate, get on the plate and on the plane and fly home where she'll get home and all the pillows on the bed will be just there. Somebody, what is he talking about? So if you've been here for the last few weeks, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But here's the point I'm trying to make. How many of us are trying to go through the process of life? Trying to move forward through life. But we're carrying excess baggage. And even we think we might be moving forward, but all we're doing is really standing still. That we're not progressing in life the way God wants us to progress and move forward. Do you not know that excess baggage can stop you from moving forward? That's why we got to let it go. There are certain things in our lives we simply need to let go of in order to grow in our walk with Jesus Christ. If we're going to live the life that Jesus wants us to live, perhaps there's some things in your life, in my life, that we simply need to let go of. It's just baggage that we need to let go of. So here in the book of Ephesians, written by the Apostle Paul, it's one of his prison epistles, that Paul emphasizes certain things in the book of Ephesians. He emphasizes the fact that the church at Ephesus, and we are the living church. When you look at Ephesians, he talks about the church as a living body. That it has a head, and Christ is the head of the church. That we are the body of Christ. That we are a new family. That we're called together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And as we live in Christian community with one another, we ought to do it with some good attitude. Our behavior ought to be right. That our conduct ought to be appropriate. That Paul has a close relationship with these folks at the church in Ephesians, at Ephesus. That he spent some 3.5 years with. So he knows some things about them. He knows what he's writing about. He says to them, listen, you have to have the right belief. But your belief must match your actions. We can't talk about being believers. We can't have simply right orthodoxy, right doctrine, right teaching without orthopraxy, right practice, and right doing. What you say you believe about Jesus, what you say you believe about the Word of God, what you say you believe about the church, what you say about yourself as a Christian, it matters, but it ought to come out in your actions. That your walking must always line up with your talking. And as Barry White said a long time ago, you have to practice. Come on, talk to me, y'all. Talk to me. So here in chapter 4, Paul talks about throwing off the old nature and being renewed by the Spirit in our thoughts and in our actions. Paul says some things here. He said, listen, look, don't lie to each other. That we are to give generously to one another. That if I look at you and I see that you have a need, listen, I don't have to always go to the church and say, church, I bought somebody here. Can a benevolence fund help them? Yeah, we have that. But if you see somebody in need and you can help that person, why not help them yourself? Don't use harsh words with one another. Don't use foul language with one another. Don't cuss anybody out, even under your breath or behind their back. That we ought to treat each other right. That we're to encourage each other. And don't grieve the Spirit who guarantees us salvation. And so the question, the critical question is, so how do we let go of our baggage in order to progress in our spiritual journey? That's a good question. Again, how do we let go of our baggage? our psychological and emotional trauma so that we can move forward, that we can progress in our spiritual walk. So the first thing I believe we can do, y'all, we need to realize that you might be carrying baggage. That's deep, isn't it? You have to realize this morning, you might be carrying some baggage. So Paul speaks to the church at Ephesus, but Paul is speaking to us today. This is the word of God for the people of God today, that we're to do away with our old life and put on our new nature. And if anybody's been saved for a little while, you know that can be a struggle from time to time. Don't look around, look at me. Some people can make it difficult. Amen, somebody. Yeah, y'all saying amen soft. Y'all doing good. That's right. Don't you got your spouse saying sitting it, don't say it too loudly. But pulling off the old, putting away the old can be difficult sometimes as we seek to put on the new, as we seek to put on Jesus Christ. And so here's the thing: as saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit as you think you are and know you are, listen, all of us deal with baggage. All of us battle with some baggage in our lives. Listen, you don't have to go through some huge trauma, you know. And I know in the house right now, some people have been through some things. You've had some trauma in your life. You've had some real heartache. You've had some tragedy. You've had some pain. But you don't have to have all of that to have to deal with baggage in your life. Because we all deal with it. It doesn't have to be some traumatic accident or some dreadful abuse. Even most the well-adjusted person. Here's what we all like to think, y'all. Don't tell anybody. We all want folk to think that we are well-adjusted. That we got it together. At least I do. But I've come to this point in my life where what I realize, and maybe it's just me, that I probably got a little cray-cray in me too. Sister Love, stop testifying. Stop. So as either educated or well-adjusted as we think we might be, we all have a tendency to battle with our baggage. It just might be the sorrow over a divorce when you were a child, that mom and dad is separated. And you felt a certain kind of way. Maybe right now you're still dealing with the psychological and emotional trauma, the baggage of a breakup in a relationship. Maybe it was a brother or a sister. Maybe it was a church member. It was a friend. Somebody hurt you. And today you still deal with the psychological, emotional trauma of what happened in that situation. So you see, all of us have a history. And our emotions are a response to the history that we once had. History is what happened to us. But baggage is how we feel about what happened to us. If you're going to thrive as a child of God, if you're going to be everything that God wants you to be, if we're going to relate to one another, as Paul is talking about in the book of Ephesians, if we're going to be unified and loving each other and caring for each other, listen, there's some stuff we have to let go of, but we have to realize there's some stuff we need to let go of. That means that you and I have to unpack some stuff and not deny our emotional issues and stresses and pain that take up space in our minds and in our hearts, that affect our relationships even today. And so Paul lists in the text, y'all, he's got this brief list of stuff, these issues that he lists. It's right there. Bitterness and rage and anger, harsh words and slander, evil behavior. Let the target find its place in your heart if it would. You have to realize it. But I've learned something. I've learned that there are issues behind our issues. I really believe this. People are the way they are for a reason. You find an angry person, they're angry for some reason. That beyond the issue of anger, that there's probably some baggage. There's probably something, some underlying issue that has them the way that they are. That the people are fearful and they're always timid and all that. There's probably a reason that they are the way that they are. when some people get in closed spaces around other people and they start sweating and they can't really stand anybody to touch them to be, it's probably the reason they are the way they are. And maybe the reason is that they're carrying some baggage. And so Paul, he this is just really the tip of the iceberg of the issues that we deal with, the baggage that we can carry. That there are a whole bunch of negative emotions and feelings and attitudes that we can carry that we need to watch out for. Some of the manifestations include isolation. Maybe you're not that person, but you know somebody that they never really feel close to anybody. They'll only let you get so close to them. And then when situations get rough in their lives, they will isolate. They'll go off to themselves. But maybe that's because some baggage they've been carrying. But how about paranoia? That you feel like somebody's talking about you all the time. That you can't stand to leave a circle of people. You're afraid, when I leave the circle, I know they got to be talking about me. We're paranoid of what people may think about us, what people may feel about us, what people are saying about us. A manifestation of maybe we're carrying some baggage from our past. And how about that famous thing, projection? That because of my insecurities, I feel a certain way, so I project it on somebody else. Somebody that never did a thing to me. Maybe it was your mother or your father in the past, but listen, you upset with somebody else that never done anything to you. Projection. How about repeating unhealthy relationships? How is it that you're always in a relationship with a man that ain't no good? And you're asking, what's written on my forehead? What magnet is there in me that draws a no good person to me? But there's some brothers out there that they can smell your baggage. They can sense it and they can feel it. And they know how to capitalize on it. Somebody looks like they know what they're talking about. How about, we're just talking about some manifestations that perhaps you're carrying baggage. How about emotional outbursts? Hello, somebody. Everything is going well. You think the conversation is going, and people go left on you. Some of the calmest people that you know, they have the emotional outburst. You go, what in the world? What happened? Maybe you're carrying some baggage. So I'm just saying, it's time for baggage check. It's time to let some stuff go. But you got to realize first that perhaps you might be carrying some baggage that you need to let go of, that you need to unpack, that God wants you and me to unpack our suitcase of suffering, because we believe that whom the Son sets free, y'all, that you are free indeed. That Jesus died to save you. He died to set you free, spiritually free, emotionally free, psychologically free. You don't have to walk around with the baggage that you're carrying. And so once we realize that maybe, there's some stuff that I'm carrying, we have to learn how to release whatever it is that we need to unpack. That you have to be able to release it. But Paul states, he says, get rid of it. In fact, get rid of it. He knew that the church was to be unified. That we are to operate as the body of Christ. That we're to love one another and care for one another. But I can only love you and care for you to the extent that I'm willing to release the baggage that's in my life. The stuff that's weighing me down. My painful past. That Paul knew in that great chapter, Ephesians chapter 6, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers in this dark and present world. Therefore, we're to put on the whole armor of God. You know the scriptures. Helmet of salvation. Breastplate of righteousness. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're to put on the whole armor of God. But I've learned something. Before, as we're putting on stuff, we got to pull off some stuff too. Paul reminds us that we need to get rid of some stuff, let some stuff go. It's a challenge that's as simple as it may seem to be. It's not It's not always that easy. We're to use the spiritual resources that God has given us. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Put on the armor. We're to pull off some stuff as well. I love Colossians chapter 3. Because it gives the analogy of taking off our old clothes and putting on our new clothes. And in Colossians chapter 3, again, Paul provides a list. Every time I look at lists in Scripture, y'all, I think we ought to slow down, and read through those lists of do's or don't real carefully to see if any of those things are a part of our lives. And so you find that in Colossians chapter 3. But in verse 10, he says, put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. If we are to become like Christ, that means we have to put on the new nature, but we got to take off the old. What does it look like? My mother used to, for real though, say, young teenager, you know, you eager to get out the house and you're going to put on your fresh outfit. Ain't put no water on you whatsoever. And mama going to tell you straight up, you better go get the must off of you, boy. That you got to take some stuff off. You get the picture. To get rid of it because it's weighing you down. I think about the story of Ruth and Naomi. Ruth, who was the great-grandmother of King David. And so Ruth and Naomi form this bond, this relationship that Naomi is, that she's from Bethlehem. She marries a man, and they get married, and so they get married, and he dies. Y'all know the story. They have two children, and some 10 years later, the two boys die too. And so Ruth is going back to her hometown in Bethlehem. Ruth was a Moabite. She was a Moabite. And so they're going back to Bethlehem, and she gets to town, and they say, Naomi, girl, where you been? It's so good to see you, girl. How's it going? She said, don't call me Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. Call me Mara, which means bitter. Because God has dealt, the Almighty has dealt with me in a harsh way. That Naomi, she carried this baggage for years and years and years. I'm wondering how many people in the house today, you're walking around and you're bitter. Because you feel like God did not deal you the right hand. That there are missed opportunities in your life. It didn't turn out the way you thought it would turn out. Brother K-Mac, I love you, brother, and I thank you when you raise your hands and give praise to God. That Anita, we didn't think it would be this way, but praise God that although it came this way, we can still bless his name. We can still shout hallelujah. We can still say thank you, Jesus. And it does my heart good every time you're in the house of God and you're lifting up your hands to God. That you don't carry the baggage of what happened to you. You're moving beyond it and still allowing God to use you. Yes, sir. He's back there doing this. And we need to do this in our lives with some stuff, y'all. Get rid of it. Let it go. Don't be bitter. Don't be angry. Don't be fearful. Release whatever it is that you need to unpack. And so practically speaking, it's good to preach one thing, but practically, how are we to do this? How can we do it? I'm glad you want to know. I think one of the first things we can do is bring it to the light. That we are the children of God. That we're no longer to walk in darkness. God is light, and we're to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1. So bring it, expose, bring it to the light. Bring it to the light of God's power. Show it to him. Unpack it. Give it to him. That we bring it to the light, whatever it is. And I love what David says in Psalm 19, because sometimes we don't realize it. And sometimes I believe we have to ask God to simply show us. David said in Psalm 19, how can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from my hidden faults and my deliberate sin. And maybe it's not that you sin. Maybe it's simply what happened to you because we live in a fallen world where there is sin. Maybe again, someone hurt you, someone abused you, someone molested you, but you're still holding on to that thing, and God wants you to let it go. Lord, show me me. Show me what I need to let go of and get beyond in my life so I can be everything that you want me to be. So we're to bring the process to light. But we can also bring the process to a trusted friend, another believer. As we prayed today, we prayed for godly friendships, godly friends. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says this, a friend is always loyal. A brother is born to help in time of need. Thank God for the people that God has placed around you in this season of your life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, people that love you and care for you, and people that will tell you the truth about you. Y'all hear me today? I mean a real friend. Listen, they will tell you the truth while putting their arm around you and smiling at the same time. They will tell you about you. And they'll do it in love. So we bring the process to light. To God's light. We bring it to him, for he is light. There is no darkness in him. We can bring the process to a trusted friend, someone that will tell us the truth. And then this third thing, practically speaking, we can bring the process to a professional counselor or bring it to an advisor. That if you need to get some counseling. And that's so taboo in many of our communities. That we don't want to tell anybody, listen, we're carrying some burdens and some weights and some stuff, some things that happened in our past, and we're afraid to get some counsel. Let somebody know. Proverbs 11:4 says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. There's safety in a multitude of counselors, people that we can talk to. So if you need some help today, listen to me. If you need some wise counsel, you can get it today. See me, there's some counselors in the house. There's some wise advisors in here right now. If there's some stuff that we cannot meet, we'll make sure we can find somebody to help meet your need. But get counseling if you need counseling so you can release whatever it is that you need to unpack and let it go. It's not always easy, though. Finish up in a minute. It's not. I can think of my own life. That I was raised in a home with an alcoholic father. That in his speech, he was harsh with my mother. Life was not going his way yet. The whole household was just chaotic and confusing. And as a young child, I learned how to stuff stuff real easy. Stuff my pain, stuff my feelings. And it took me some time, y'all. I loved my father. I loved him until the day he died. The good news about him is that God molded him and God moved some things in his life and he became a great preacher of God. But it took me a while, y'all. Can I be honest, just to let go of some stuff, unpack it? And at 59 years old, praise God, if I were honest with you, Minister Janice Brown, grew up in a household with an alcoholic father, seeing the things that he did, all the stuff that I experienced. It's hard sometimes not to allow some of that stuff that you experience to rub off on you. And you find yourself fighting through life to let go of that stuff, to be the person that God called you to be. Don't get it wrong. Hugh T. Love was his name. He had issues. He had his baggage. But he was a man that loved people. And he was loved by God. And God loved him more. And God healed him. God took him away. But Kevin Love had to deal with his own stuff as well, his own issues, the baggage that he had. Some of y'all in here today, listen, y'all got some baggage. Because of what your mama and them and your dad and them did, what you saw, you got some baggage. And you have yet to let it go. And my word to you today is to let it go. Give it to God. Release it. Tell a friend. Go to a counselor. Let it go. Sometimes it can be a lifelong process. I believe God can heal instantly. He can deliver instantly. But you got to be willing to make the choice to let it go. But sometimes it's a process. As a man, I'm speaking as a man. We don't always want to open up and let people know about our issues because we're men. It's not easy sometimes to talk about stuff that happened in your past because it can get a little stinky and get a little ugly and get a little emotional. And we don't want to do none of that. But sometimes we have to do it, y'all, if we're to grow, become the people that God wants us to be. So as God is making us more like him, it requires less of us. And according to Paul, here's the big picture in what Paul is talking about in the text today, that God has a purpose and a reason for us to get beyond our baggage. We have to relate to others as the new person Christ made us to be. That you have been born again, that you are saved, that you are a new creation, that you are new in Christ Jesus. And so we're to relate to others as the new person that Christ, what are you saying? Look at the text. Instead of all this other, so instead of be kind to each other. Listen, be tenderhearted. Be forgiving of one another, just as God through Christ forgave us. Listen, Christ took on our sins at Calvary's cross. He died for your baggage and my baggage, your stuff and my stuff, your sins and my sins. And here's the thing that listen, when it comes to sin, we have to realize that, listen, the penalty of sin has been paid for. It was done at Calvary's cross. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that you were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, the penalty is you are saved. But that does not stop the presence of sin from operating in your life, in my life. And when I say that, I'm not always saying, you did something, you're doing something, but because of the presence of sin in the world, some things have happened to you. And it's real, and it's ugly, and it was stinky, and it was bad. But you're still walking around with the emotional and psychological trauma of yesterday. And God has a new day for you today. And the thing about we as members of the church, when we allow this to happen, it comes out in our attitude. It comes out in our behaviors and how we treat one another as children of God. That sometimes we can be a little snappy with one another. That somebody steps on your shoe, you don't want to forgive them. Because all it's baggage. It's stuff from our past. But we need to be free to be who God called us to be. Listen, Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household or the family of faith. That we're to be doing this stuff for real that Paul talks about, tenderhearted to each other, taking care of each other, loving each other, embracing one another. But if I'm carrying some issues, if I'm carrying my stuff and you're carrying some stuff, listen, we can only get so close. And God wants us to relate to one another as new believers, as the people that God called us to be through Jesus Christ. And here's the thing I believe the world is watching. The world is looking at us. Will we be a people that will preach and practice the same thing? Will we be the church today that God is calling for? Well, if we're going to do that, then I really believe a part of that means we have to get rid of some of the stuff in our lives. The baggage, the weights. Lay aside every sin and weight that so easily beset us. And we're to run the race that's set before us today. Will we treat each other with love and grace and forgiveness and patience and long-suffering? Or will we allow our baggage to block our relationship with God and with one another? What will we choose to do? It is time for us to do a baggage check. And then to let it go. So Jackie's situation, her process in Orlando International, it was a challenge to her. And so to get her baggage on the conveyor belt, to get it moving forward through the process so that she could go through that long security line, get on that airplane, and come home to her loving husband. But walk with me, if you will. What if we thought about this? What if there were no such thing as a baggage check? That you get to the airport and you have to lug your baggage everywhere you go. All the weight of those outfits that you got in your baggage, that you have to lug it everywhere you go. You get it out of your vehicle and you get it to the airport. You go through the security line and you're lugging, because there's no baggage check-in, you're lugging your bags everywhere you go. You get to your gate and you're sweating and you're tired because you've been lugging around baggage from the time that you left the house. You get to your seat on the plane. You can't get it into the overhead compartment. It's too big. And so somehow you have to squeeze it in the seat with you. All no space anyway. But you've got this baggage that you're carrying with you. There is no baggage. There is no baggage check. But one thing we realize that the airplane was made for us to have a baggage check. And so what the airplane will do is what we cannot do. That it will lug the baggage for you. That man will stand there and take your bag, throw it in the bottom of the plane. The bottom of the plane will carry your bag while you sit on the plane and you rest and you relax. I'm going somewhere with this. Listen, thank God for a divine baggage check. And Peter told us what it was. He said, we can go to Jesus, we can go to the cross, and we can cast every one of our cares on him because he cares about us. Whatever you're carrying today, God wants you to let it go. If it's pain, let it go. Let your hurts go. Let the past go. Let your frustrations go. Let your fears, let it go. Place it before the cross of Jesus Christ. Let it go today. And that word cast is so important because it means to forcefully throw it on him. It doesn't mean to roll it over and say, Jesus, here, take it. It means to throw it on, give it to him. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go in the name of Jesus. Let it go and be free today. Be free today. Be totally free today. I choose to let it go. Amen and amen. It's time for a baggage check. Let it go. Let it go. Father, thank you for your word today. God, whatever we carry, we're willing to let it go, to release it, to let you have it. Whatever may be blocking us from the fullness of your blessings, being the people that you called us to be, God, help us to let the pain go. The frustration and the worry, let it go. It happened. It was history. It was real. It happened. It was ugly. It was painful. It was stinky. It was dirty. It happened. But by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have released us to be free, to be whole again, to walk faithfully in your wholeness and in your power. So by your power, by your strength, by your might, we choose in this very moment, whatever may be holding us down and holding us back, whatever may be weighing us down, we choose in this very moment, to cast it on you, to let it go, to release it, and to walk freely in you. And Father, right now, under the sound of my voice, perhaps there's someone that's not in a saving relationship with you, that they don't know Jesus Christ in the pardon of their sins. The greatest weight that we can carry is the weight of sin. But that's why you sent your son Jesus into the world, and he humbly and died on Calvary's cross. 3 days later, got back up with all power, that we can be released from our sins and no longer carry that weight. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to the hearts of somebody today. Let them know that Jesus wants a saving relationship with them. That we admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. And we're willing to repent, which simply means to turn from our sins and turn to you, Jesus. And we confess you, Jesus, as the Lord and Savior of our lives. And we believe that what you did at Calvary's cross was enough. The sacrifice you made, it was enough once and for all. And we claim it. And we cherish it. And we hold on to it. And we believe it as we let go of the struggles and the pains of our past. And we walk in the newness of life. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. If you are here today and you are believing on Jesus for the first time, that you feel this tug at your heart, you're not quite sure what all it is, listen, that we believe it's the tug of the Holy Spirit letting you know just you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and perhaps you're not connected with a local church anywhere, a place where you can fellowship with other believers, that you can hear the word of God together as God's people, you can pray for one another, we can serve one another, we can love one another, be patient and kind, as Paul said, with one another. It starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. So already saved or asking Christ for salvation, which we already prayed the prayer of salvation. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. That settles it. There's a maturation process that takes place after that. But guess what? The maturation process never really goes anywhere if we're carrying baggage. And so what does that look like? A mature Christian. One that's not tossed to and fro and up and down by the trials of life. That they don't carry the excess weight and the issues of their past. They let it go. God wants us, you and me, to be mature Christians, mature believers, to walk in him. So let me give the plea one more time. If you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sins, receive him today. If you're not connected to a local fellowship, a church where you can worship and serve with other believers, you need to do that today. If Living Faith Community Church is not in your vicinity, we can find a place for you to worship. A church where people love God and the word of God, a true church of believers. We can find that place for you, but just receive him today. If you're in the house today and you're saying, listen, I heard you, preacher, and I accept this Jesus into my life. Well, I heard you, preacher. I'm already a born-again believer, and I want to connect with this fellowship. You can do that today. How do you do that? On the other side of the wall, listen, room number one, you can meet with one of our new member ministry advisors. And even in this very moment, can we all just bow our heads one more time, close our eyes? Nobody looking around. And you're saying in this very moment, preacher, I want to connect with this fellowship. I want to connect with Jesus first. I want to do that. And so I'm asking you in this very moment, if you'll get up from where you are, go to the aisles, go to room number one. A new member ministry advisor will meet you. You can get up at this very moment. If you choose to do it after the worship experience, you can do that. One of our new member ministry advisors, we want to give you opportunity at this time just to get up before the crowd gets up, give you opportunity to get out of your seat. Don't sit there. Get up and move. Go to room number one. One of our new member ministry advisors will meet you there. And if you're tuned in today, how do you do it? Listen, you can go to our Facebook Live. There is a new member form that you can fill out. Fill that out, and I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors will get with you, and will welcome you to Living Faith with open arms. God, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his blood. Thank you today that we're willing and we choose to let it go. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.